is everyone? All right, well, somebody's here. Well, if all of you would like to join us, we're going to celebrate the Lord together. If he's been good to you, say, thank you, Lord. So glad all of you are here. Let me be another to extend a very warm welcome. If you are a visitor with us today, you are a precious guest, and we are so glad that you're here. Our vision is to be a family that anyone can belong to. So wherever you're coming from, whatever faith journey you're on, this is a safe place. We want you to be able to come here and ask the hard questions, things that we may not have the answers to, but we're going to work together and grow together so that we can walk closer and closer to Jesus. Now, I'll give a predication here. This is going to be a little bit of a weird sermon, and I'm going to take us some places that maybe you'll be like, why is he doing that? Just hang on with me. It'll make more sense as we get down the road a little bit. I've got a lot of video and audio today, some things I want to share with you because I just can't describe them well enough, and I need you to experience them so that we can come together on this journey. But what I want to ask you to do, as we're going into the new year 2020, we're going to be looking at seeing clearly, because you can't pick a better year than 2020 about seeing clearly. But what I'm realizing is about February, we're going to be unpacking some really rich materials about how to see clearly some things in our life that have been tripping us up, and you're going to be thinking, when is that true? How is that true? And you won't remember things that have just happened. So what I want to ask of you right now is as we go into November and December, I am absolutely certain that you guys are going to spend an inordinate amount of time with people who are going to annoy you because it's the holidays. All right? That is the time to learn what I'm talking about, okay? So what I want to ask you to do is don't fix anything, don't change anything, just pay attention. You could be sitting there at the dinner table around a ginormous fried turkey, if you're lucky, because fried turkeys are the best, and so-and-so across the way is going to say something about the president, and it's going to create that tension that we all love around the dinner table. What I want you to do in moments like that is to notice how you're experiencing it. Because if you're like me, and if you're paying attention, you're going to notice this. They're going to say one comment that on the annoying scale is about a 3 out of 10. And you're going to feel about a 9 out of 10. Anger, frustration, anxiety, etc. And you're going to walk away and be like, okay, on paper, that was annoying. That was about a 3 or 4. Why did I feel an 8 or a 9? That's all I want you to do. Notice that. The gap between the 3 and the 4 and the 8 and 9 is what gets us tripped up. It's normal. Everybody's got it. But we're going to look in 2020 about how to unravel some of that and maybe learn some skills, go into the Word of God and see some principles that we can lean on to see clearly some of those things that are hiding. That gap, that differential is what's hiding in our life. So I just want you to notice for the next 2 weeks, as you're in some very special times where these things are going to happen, just pay attention. If you're a journaler, write it down. Just notice it. That's all I ask. And when we get in January and February, you're going to be going, oh, yeah. I remember, that's what we were talking about. And it's going to make more sense to you. So just pay attention to that. I want to start off our time today thinking about this. Do you or would you ever intentionally keep someone from Jesus? I think most of us would probably say no to that. Even if you're not a believer, that just feels kind of outside the bounds. Or would you or have you ever intentionally kept someone from coming to church? Maybe a little closer to home, somebody's thinking, I don't want to mess up a good thing, you know, and if that kind of person comes, it might. Maybe if we're honest, there's a little rub there, but generally speaking, we're probably not going to say okay to that either, most of us. But here's a harder question. Have you ever unintentionally kept someone from Jesus? Have you ever unintentionally kept someone from coming and being a part of a fellowship like a church, like Church in the Falls? Maybe because you chose not to say anything. Maybe because you had a reaction to something they said that made them feel not so safe with you. Maybe because of those number differentials, you reacted to something they said in such a way that they were like, okay, whoa. You sound a little angry today. And they unintentionally were pushed away from what might could have been an opportunity. Now, if we're honest, these kind of scenarios are regular in our lives. What I want to do is begin to see that. Why do we do those things? How do we get wrapped into stuff in such a way that we create those boundaries and those barriers that are not really helpful? And honestly, they're not things we intentionally want to do, but yet they're still there. It's how to see clearly, how to call the elephant in the room and talk about it instead of just pretending that it's not there. And one of the ways I want to do that today is look at two different stories around two different things. And my hope and my prayer today is begin to asking God to peel away the scales from our eyes so that we can see clearly, to clean out the wax in our ears so that we can hear clearly. Remember Jesus' language, those with eyes to hear or eyes to see and ears to hear, right? This sense of awareness and paying attention. And then lastly, a mouth to speak. Because sometimes it's a positive, sometimes it's reflective. But these are the things that I think we need in order to be more in line and in tune. It's all about that disproportion. This happens and we react differently. It could be the reverse too. What if someone comes at you and they're like an 8 or a 9, dissing your kid or your spouse? And you're like, well, you know, they probably didn't mean that. And you find yourself, for whatever reason, reacting at a 2 or 3. That's equally dysfunctional. You see how that misses the mark. And just notice it. Don't change anything. Don't fix it. Just go, on paper, I ought to should have, but I didn't. Why? What's that gap? Because those are the things that are hiding in us that tend to come up in strange ways. Those are some of the ways that we get wrapped around the axle as I've been using that language. I wanted to find that more and more because I think that's really important to be able to grab a hold of that. We talked about, once upon a time, the tree of knowledge and the tree of life. Quick review on that. Tree of knowledge is this thing of learning more and more and more, but it doesn't necessarily change our lives. Tree of life is what Jesus came to bring, life and life abundant. In heaven, the tree of life is there. The tree of knowledge is no longer there. In the Garden of Eden, both are there. Okay, so that's what's going on. It's a really important distinction. And I think as church members, believers in God, typically we tend to land a little heavier on the tree of knowledge. And it's a good thing. We can learn a lot. But at the end of the day, if our lives don't change and we don't experience abundant life, we've missed the mark. And it's really sneaky and easy to hide. It's kind of like hot, cold, lukewarm. Hot, cold is tree of life. You grab it, it's not life. You grab it, you find Jesus, it is life. It's really black and white. Everything else is bitter. And then there's this lukewarm where it sort of feels like we're doing the right thing because we know a lot of stuff. That's scary. One's more sinister, one's more obvious, and I think more dangerous. I think running away from God completely is probably more dangerous and destructive, but at least it's clear. And I think those are the two worlds that we live in, depending on where you're at. Most of us in here probably on the tree of knowledge bent a little bit much, and that's where we get hung up. So that's kind of where I'm coming from today. Here's a good example of tree of knowledge. Many years ago, I read this book, Ashamed of the Gospel. Anybody ever read this book, by the way? John F. MacArthur, fantastic book. It was a life-changing book for me when I read it. Really great theological understanding, rich power of the gospel kind of an understanding. Faith Works, another one I read later. Works is both a noun and a verb, a creative title, good material. And it's one of many, many books that John F. MacArthur has written. He is celebrating this year, the last few weeks, as a matter of fact, a 50-year anniversary of being a senior teaching, preaching pastor. He talks about in one of his preaching seminars that he gives 40 to 45 hours a week just to study for the sermon that week. He's a scholar of scholars. He knows Greek. He knows Hebrew. He has a doctorate degree. He is a theologian, and he's been doing it for 50 years. Talk about the tree of knowledge. He's got it. He really knows. If John F. MacArthur says the Bible says this, it probably does. He really has a good grip on that. He's invested there very well. And so it's somewhat of a hero of mine. I think he's a really great leader and teacher. He has brought thousands to know Jesus. So that is the facts of this man. But just to illustrate how easy it is for even a great leader, teacher, preacher like John F. MacArthur, I just want you to hear it in his own words. I don't want you to hear me twisting anything. Just listen to what's happening in the last few weeks. And some of the things that he has said and some of the things that are going on. This is at a 50-year celebration of him being a pastor. Him and his co-minister, Phil, who are working together. And you're going to see Phil a little bit more in another clip. But I just want to give you an awareness. This is just an audio, but just listen to this conversation. Push play.
For your stretches, I will say a word, and then the three of you need to give a one or a pithy response to the word. Let's begin with an easy one. The word is Beth Moore. That's two words. liberalist. All right. Dr. MacArthur, Beth Moore?
Go home. There is no case that can be made biblically for a woman preacher. Period. Paragraph. End of discussion.
Is she in the process of apostatizing? Is there how significant is the deficiency in her teaching? How bad is the drift?
So our tone is going to be a loving tone because this isn't about hating Beth Moore. This is about hating women. Somewhat recently and increasingly, we're seeing Beth Moore have a bit of a theme that is troubling.
And I thought, oh, please, God, no. Oh, please, please, God, no. Because I'm already knowing he wants me to witness to this man. And so I say to myself in my spirit, now I'm not talking out loud, but in my spirit, I'm talking to God silently, and I'm saying, I'm sure my mouth is going. Because I say to him, do not make me witness to that man. And now I'm going to tell you, as clear as I'm talking to you now, the Lord spoke to my heart. Been very few times I've ever heard God be this articulate with me. And I'm telling you word for word, these words came into my heart. I'm not asking you to witness to him. I'm asking you to brush his hair. Lord, that man needs witnessing to. Me. I got the Roman road, amen? Still in my heart. I mean, we are just having a fight. I didn't tell you to witness to him. I told you to brush his hair.
And when she said things like, as clear as I've ever heard him in my spirit, God said to me, and she even said, word for word. So she's claiming verbal inspiration for this. That's where I think she's stepped across the line. She is, in effect, adding to Scripture. She's saying that she has gotten a message from God that is more authoritative than Scripture, because Scripture does tell her to go into all the world with the gospel. Scripture doesn't tell her to comb this guy's hair.
Now, judge for yourself. These guys know a lot about the Bible, and they're great leaders, great teachers, and brought many people to know Jesus. Yet, in that moment, can you hear something that makes me really pretty angry, actually? And many of you are, I use the word disciples of Beth Moore. You've learned a lot from her. She's a great scholar, great teacher, great leader. You saw a little clip. She's funny, engaging. And yet, they want to wrap around details and make something out of nothing. That is what wrapped around the axle looks like. That's what the tree of knowledge gets us to if we don't go beyond it. Again, nothing negative about these men. I know them to be good men, but it's just that easy. And if it's that easy for a John F. MacArthur to get wrapped around, to have a pep rally and to say, go home, when the name Beth Moore comes up, maybe we all need to be more sensitive, more careful, because we also, as churchgoers, as believers in God already, tend to lean heavy on the tree of knowledge. And that is not the reason Jesus came. He is the Word. He is life, not the Bible. The Bible is to support those things, to point, to give us able to rebuke and correct. It's a great tool, but it is just that, a tool. And we need to keep that separate. And I think that is a good example of that. In Romans 7:6, listen to this. Paul says, now we can serve God, not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way of living in the Spirit. There's something different, he's saying. And it is very important that we get that. Now, here's another pathway, the tree of life. Now, the tree of life folks tend to just grab every piece of life they can, and it's bitter. And they go, ah, it's Ecclesiastes. The entire book of Ecclesiastes is this journey where Solomon had everything he could ever want. I want money, God. Yes, I'm richer than everybody else. I'm still bored. I'm going to build creation, amazing buildings, and they're going to be in the temple, and I'm just, wow. And God supernaturally endowed him to do that. I'm still kind of bored. God, I want power. I want authority. I want women. God said, there you go. I want wisdom. I want to know more than anybody else. And he had it. And at the end of the day, he's like, all of it is just worthless. There's something missing. He's reaching for all the fruit of life. And every time he bites into that fruit, it's bitter. Because what he's really looking for in his conclusion is fear God and keep his commandments. Walking with Christ, engaging in a lifestyle of kindness and love and submission and support, the things Jesus modeled, is what he finally gets to. It's not about more knowledge. He's got plenty of that. It doesn't change who we are, though. So the people who are looking for the tree of life often find a lot of bad fruit. And sometimes they get poisoned. It's kind of dangerous. There's an individual, and I don't know if you guys are following this story, but it's so dynamic. I just want to share it with you. So bear with me whether you like this style of music or this type of personality. Now, just hang with me for a minute. Kanye West. Now, let me remind you of who this guy is. He is all about the tree of life, and he has grabbed a lot of bitter fruit. Here's a very short 45 seconds to remind you of who he is. Push play.
Everybody says, who does he think he is?
I just told you who I thought I was. A god. I just told you.
I'm not your boy.
I'm really happy for you. I'm going to let you finish. But Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time.
So at the moment, I am a god.
The destruction of the spirit of the people of southern Louisiana and Mississippi may end up being the most tragic loss of all.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
I am a god. There are two words.
A god.
And that's exactly who I am.
What's to do? Well, Kanye in April of this year has had a radical conversion to Christianity. You may know that, first of all, because it's a new thing, but I was careful. I wanted to really know. So I spent a lot of time listening to interviews and really trying to assess, where is he coming from with this? And I'm telling you, he has the potential to change the globe on a Billy Graham level. He's a billionaire who has millions of listeners. He's married to a Kardashian. The dynamic impact he could have on the world is exceptional. And yet, he's finally grabbed the right fruit. He's interested in the knowledge. He's getting there, but he is all about the fruit. He understands that Christ has come to relieve him of shame and brokenness and to live into a different lifestyle. And it is powerful to watch some of the things that he has been saying. In fact, one of the interviews, so the guy when he was saying, I am God, that guy who was interviewing him is from Rolling Stone. The same guy interviewed him recently, a few weeks ago. And in that same interview, he says, I'm kind of grieving because I'm a big fan of the old Kanye. You know, the liberal-minded, the aggressive, the do whatever. I'm kind of sad. You know, this. I'm not into this Jesus stuff, but I'm interested to know about you. So it's a very honest interview. It's about a two-hour interview. It's really good. Kanye says all kinds of things. One of the things he says that really stuck out to me, he said, now, and he was about to say something, he paused himself. He said, now, I'm not a biblical scholar. I'm a new convert. So don't quote me, but this is what I've learned. This is what I think I know. Can you hear the humility in that? That is not Kanye, first of all. And he says what he says. And it's powerful to watch how he unfolds. He says, everything I have now is working for God. You know, he produces the tennis shoe that is the most popular tennis shoe on the planet, more than Nike or anything else. He says, we're not going to have 350s, which is the name of his tennis shoe. We're going to have John 3:16s. Everything's God's now. Everything is God's. And everything I do is for God. I work for God now. He says this over and over again in a nearly two-hour interview. His world has changed just recently. His new album that just came out is called Jesus is King. I'll share a little bit with you in a minute. Another one that is coming out in Christmas called Jesus is Born. While he was making the album, he asked folks to fast and pray. And then he tells the interviewer, he says, now you might want to edit this out. So I'm leaning in. What is he about to say? I also told my folks to not have premarital sex while we made the album. Just sit on that for a minute. That is the kind of counterculture we want to be. When a voice as loud as his ripples in to the internet and people go, whoa, well, Kanye's doing it. Must not be all bad. Or maybe it's real bad. Some people have that reaction as well. There's something going on there that is really, really special. And I want to share it to you because he's on a different path. When people come into our church and they don't know about God and they figure him out, you mean he loves me as I am? You mean he forgives my sin? They bite the fruit. It's the pearl of great price. They are not losing that. They bit a lot of bitter fruit and they found something that works. The fearful thing for some of us who've grown up around it is we skate the edge. It's the lukewarm versus hot and cold. And that's why Kanye can have a real blessing for us. And why I want to ask you to pray for him. Some of the stuff that he wrote, I just want to share a little bit with you. This album is incredible. I wept like a baby most of this week listening to this. I just didn't know what to expect. But he's got a song called Use of the Gospel. Use this gospel for protection. It's hard road to heaven. We call on your blessings in the Father we put our faith. King of the kingdom, our demons are trembling and the holy angels are defending. In the Father we put our faith. Pretty deep lyrics, right? A lot of damaged souls, I done damaged those. And in my arrogance, I stopped to take a camera pose. Man, just hear the gravity of that confession, that unawareness of brokenness. He says, try seeing a different tune when the slammer closes. From concrete grew a rose. They give you race talk, I'm going to give you faith talk. Blindfolded on this road, watch me faith walk. Just hold on to your brother when he lost his faith. He's reaching into the world to say, there's something better out there, and I found it. Listen to me. Kenny G makes a solo. You know, I'm a fan of Kenny G. I thought that was interesting for Kanye. A lot of things going on. Here's one called Water. Take the chlorine out of our conversation. Let your light reflect on me. I promise I'm not hiding anything. It's water. We are water. Pure as water. Like a newborn daughter. Very different style as well. There's a song called Jesus is Lord. Literally. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Every knee will bow. Jesus is Lord. That's the whole song. Right out of Philippians 2. Very different style as well. Song after song after song. Listen to this. Made a left when I should have made a right. I told God this is the last time on life. I told the devil that I'm going on strike. I told the devil when I see him on sight. I've been working for you my whole life. So I told the devil I'm now on strike. Because I've been working for you my whole life. He goes on and on. The nature of what's going on. He says, I deserve all the criticism you got. And if that's all the love you have, well, then that's all you got. To sing of change, you think I'm joking. To praise his name, you ask what I'm smoking. Yes, I understand your reluctancy, yeah. But I have a request, you see. Don't throw me up. Lay your hands on me. Please pray for me. Hold it down, all the falling down. Someday, please pray for me. And back to my question again. Have we ever done anything that intentionally pushed people away from Christ? Some of that same song, listen to these lyrics. I said I'm going to do a gospel album. What have you been hearing from the Christians? They'll be the first ones to judge me and make me feel like nobody loves me. They'll be the first ones to judge me, feeling like nobody loves me. I told people that God was my mission. What have you been hearing from the Christians? They'll be the first ones to judge me, make it feel like nobody loves me. If they only see the wrongs and they never listen to the songs, just to listen is a fight, but you booked me for the fight. It's so hard to get along if they only see the slight. From the love of religion, what have you been hearing from the Christians? They'll be the first ones to judge me. Make it seem like nobody loves me. We get called halfway believers, only halfway read Ephesians, only if they knew what I knew, that I was never new till I knew the true and living God, Yeshua, the true and living God. You hear that? This man's heart has been ripped inside out, and he's getting it from the left. He's getting it from his people. He's getting it from ABC. This article came out yesterday. His narcissism, his self-loathing, and his politics have been on full display long enough for me to know that I don't need to attend a Sunday service or subject myself to, quote, Jesus is King listening session. West's latest shtick is clearly nothing more than him showing up as a black Pat Robertson in a dumb red hat with a beat machine with pretensions of being a gospel star like Kirk Franklin. Those are his people. The church is saying things on Facebook like, well, we'll hold off and we'll wait and see, make sure he's got all his religion right. That sounds like tree of knowledge to me. Church, we've got to be better than that. I think we at Church in the Falls, we really are a good group of people. We really love the Lord. I think it's something special here. I want you to know that. But do you see when a great man like John F. MacArthur can tip so easily into knowledge that he can become rude and disrespectful like he was that quick? That scares me of how easy that can happen. We've got to be better than that. We have got to understand that our behaviors, when we wrap around the axle, those missing between a 3 reaction to a 9 reaction, whatever's going on there, our blind spots, the elephant in the room, the things we don't see, don't hear, and don't understand, those things unintentionally keep people from God, and we've got to deal with them. It is important. And also, we need to be praying for guys like Kanye. I want to let you listen just to a little quick snippet of one of the songs. This is one of my favorites. It's called Selah. And just push play. Listen to this song.
God is king. We the soldiers. Ultra beam out the solar. When I get to heaven's gates, I ain't gotta peek over, keeping perfect composure. When I scream at the chauffeur, I ain't mean, I'm just focused. I ain't mean, I'm just focused. Put a lean out slower, got us clean out of soda. Before the flood, people judge, they did the same thing to Noah. Everybody wanted Yandy, that Jesus Christ did the laundry. They say that we start on Monday, but the strong start on Sunday. Won't be in bondage to any man, John 8:33. We the descendants of Abraham, yea, should be made free. John 8:36, to whom the Son set free, is free indeed. He say the rich like me.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
I just want to give you a little taste of that. Now, you may not like that style, and that's fine. Kanye's his own person. I just want you to understand, something's going on there. It's really rich. And I want to challenge you to open your mind a little bit and let knowledge be something that we use as a tool to love people better, so that people like Kanye, when they finally find that fruit and they understand, wow, this Jesus thing is for real, they have a place to go. Because not everybody has the power and the money and the clout of a Kanye. We got people in our neighborhood right now who are scared to come because they don't know if they're going to fit in or not. They don't know if we're going to judge them with all of our knowledge. They don't know how that's going to fit together. I want to suggest to you a great response. And I'm going to look at this really quickly. Mark 9 is a part in the middle of the gospel. It's 16 chapters. 8 and 9 is that hybrid where it begins to shift its focus. What's important about this story is it's an illumination into what Christ is really caring about. And he goes from there into crucifixion and all that's coming next. And he's much more plain about it. He's on the mountain of transfiguration. He's hanging out with God's voice and with Moses and Elijah. It's a literal mountaintop experience. That's where we get the phrase from. He comes down off the mountain and this is what happens. They're arguing. And he says, why is there arguing? Verse 17, one of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, teacher, I brought my son to heal him, and he's possessed by an evil spirit, and they won't let him talk. And whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him violent to the ground. He foams at the mouth. He grinds his teeth. He becomes rigid. Your disciples couldn't throw the demon out. And Jesus gets a little irritated. What faithless people? How long am I going to have to hang out here with you guys? Is kind of what he's saying. But then he asks the guy, he says, how long does this happen? Because the boy sees Jesus and the demon takes over and he starts falling to the ground like Dad said. He looks at Dad and says, how long has it been like this? Since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into fire and the water, tries to kill him. And this, the father says this to Jesus, have mercy on us and help us if you can. Jesus stops and says, if I can. If I can. Anything is possible if a person believes. And the guy says, I do believe, but help me with my unbelief. Now that is the most honest thing you can read in Scripture right there. That is saying, I've got some things in my life that I might have together. Because I've learned knowledge. I've drank. I've eaten from the tree of knowledge. I know right and wrong. I've learned some things. And there are good things. And I'm trying to walk with the Lord. We can say a lot of those things. We're all here today on a Sunday morning. But you know what? There's this unbelief part that is right there with it. I believe, but help me with my unbelief. As you go into the holiday season and you're beginning to see the differential. This is what it is and this is how we react. Why is there a difference? Start asking that question. Notice it. Because I really strongly believe that being in tune with that is being able to say, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. Help me see clearly, help me hear clearly, help me understand, and we're going to look more and more into that. I want to leave this on a high note, and I got about 3 minutes, so we're going to do it this way. I don't know if you guys are familiar with James Corden. He has this cool, funny carpool karaoke thing where he takes a big star and they sing and they do funny things. And it's kind of like an interview process. Well, he does that with Kanye, but Kanye has a posse. I mean a big one. So he says, well, won't you come on my plane? And so they're riding with his posse on the plane and this happens. It's really interesting. It's about a 20-minute clip. I'm going to give you 3 minutes of it just to soak in a little bit of where Kanye is coming from and this posse that he brings with him. Push play.
Now I get to work for God, and he about to show out. Kanye West works for God.
Now, what's a regular night in for you and Kim now? Kanye and Kim, they got nothing to do Tuesday night. What are they doing?
I don't like going out at nighttime. I like being at home with my family at night as much as possible.
So what is that night? What do you do?
We'll eat dinner, and we'll play with the kids. And then we'll put the kids to bed, and then we go to bed. And then my wife watches Dateline.
So she watches Dateline,
yeah.
And you're not really watching anything, you're just straight to sleep?
I read the Bible.
For real?
Yes.
Seriously, you sit and read the Bible?
Yes.
That's for sure, his love will never fade.
Trust his word.
Come on.
Come on.
you say to people who would say, and there will be people that will say, I don't believe it. I don't believe the reawakening of that Kanye is saying he's having. I don't believe if I look at the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years of his life, I don't believe that this can be as night and day as it is. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
that you would be one day living your life in one way and now saying everything is for this. I'm not sure I believe it. What would you say to those people?
Well, I'd say when you go to sleep, would you agree that you are asleep when you are asleep? And when you wake up, would you agree that you are awake when you are awake?
Yeah.
Would you agree that those are two different states? People who don't believe are walking dead. They are asleep. And this is the awakening.
That line is a great line to end on. This is the awakening. Church, it's time to wake up and be aware of what's going on, because we don't want to be the kind of people who will turn away someone like that, who's finding God with a passion. I encourage you to pray for Kanye. We're going to pray for him right now in a minute as the Arise Band comes on back up here. And I want to invite you to pray for him, because he could have a Billy Graham kind of impact on the world. He really could. But just for us, how do we live in such a way that we don't unintentionally turn people away? Our eyes have got to be open. Our ears have got to be open. We've got to pay attention and not get too caught in the tree of knowledge for the sake of missing the tree of life. How'd you like an choir like that traveling with you? Pretty awesome, right? Pretty amazing. Hey, that's about a 20-minute video, and there's a lot of music in it. So I highly recommend it. If you want to watch it, look up James Corden and Kanye, and you'll find it pretty quickly. I want to just offer a word of prayer. I want to join with me. Let the Lord sink into you. What's going on? What do you need to hear from God today? And we're going to have a song after this, and if we can serve you and pray for you, encourage you in some way, wherever you're coming from, we're here to serve in love. We just care about you. And we've got a prayer room right outside the exit sign there. We'll have some of our shepherds in there. We'll pray with you, encourage you. If there's some other thing you need to bring, please do that. But above all, let's go this week together. Let's think about it. Let's start noticing that gap so we can begin to address it with 2020 vision in the year 2020. Let's pray together. Father, we are humbled and we want to lift up Kanye West and his family, Kim and his kids and his future kids and all of that choir. And Lord, I don't know where all they're coming from or what challenges they're going to have. But Lord, I remember when I first became a Christian, there is a lot coming his way. We pray that you will bolster him and strengthen him and encourage him. Lord, allow him to be the witness that he wants to be. Allow him to be the witness that you can make him into. Lord, if you can reach Kanye West, you can reach all of us. There's nothing inside of us that is too overrun with power that cannot be subdued by the power of your gospel. Kanye proves that to us today, Lord, and that is hopeful. So we lean into that. We ask that you would give us access to the tree of life. And may knowledge just be a way to get there. But that life is what you came to bring us. Life and abundant life. Lord, I pray that each one of us here today would find that. That you would spark our heart. That your Holy Spirit would come and move us in that direction. In the ways that only you know, Lord. We ask that you would help us to see clearly, to hear clearly, and to speak up when we need to. We give you all praise and honor and glory. In the name of Jesus, let all who agree say, amen. Let's stay.